We're tying up the seventh perek of Shaar HaBitachon and Be'ezras Hashem, and we already a few weeks already began his finale, if we'll call it that, describing the process of a child growing up and becoming more and more aware of what he depends on, then discovering the limitations of that person, party, entity, and expanding his understanding of what he depends on, and going further and further. So we discussed how it goes from, right, the mother's breast to the mother herself to the father, until he starts recognizing the father's limits and at the same time starts discovering his own abilities. So then he graduates from the father to his own abilities. And then he starts, as he becomes more and more aware of the limits of his own abilities. So there's a process of him relegating things to Hashem. So the way the Chofetz Chaim has described it was, and again, he's building it up in his methodical way. He said, goes from a place of being full of, well, let's say we're talking about a talented, successful person, I hold my fate, my welfare in my own hands. Then he goes from there to understanding the areas where he totally depends on Hashem. And therefore he says, okay, those areas I'm going to relegate to Hashem, but these are the areas I'm still holding on to. These are my areas. The examples that he gave was, you have a very successful, talking in terms of the olden days, a very successful merchant who, don't worry, Hashem, the business I have under control, but I need your help in terms of sea voyage, which is a dangerous thing. If a storm comes, etc., there's are the areas where my business abilities won't help me. So that's where I trust Hashem. Then he says, as this person, this is a growth process, as the person starts more and more experiencing how in those areas that he has no control, and I'll just give another simpler example, forget sea voyage. Now, I might be able to think at least that I'm in control of making the money, buying food, making sure I have food. But once you swallow the food, you're still very dependent. Is everything going to get where it needs to go to? All the process is going to work right. So, okay, that you have to let go. And oh, Hashem is involved in a whole intense, intricate process, a multi-hour process after I finished eating of making sure the food does for me what it did. So what it needs to do. So the more a person recognizes those areas and experiences them, that brings Hashem into his life experience. Yeah, Hashem is in his life, into his life experience. He starts feeling Hashem more and more. And the more he feels Hashem, the more he, so to speak, begins letting go of other areas where he does feel like he has some control. And this is the growth process of a person growing in his bitachon. That's why, as he said before, Bitachon is very, very much built on learning to see the areas where Hashem is involved in your life. You can't just come from in a vacuum and all of a sudden you need Hashem to help you out with something. Up till then, you never experienced Hashem in your life. That's why Shaar HaBchinah has to come first. You have to learn to experience all the areas where Hashem is taking care of you, everything from your body's functioning to your circumstances in life, etc. Okay. Then he moves, he starts slowly letting go of another area of life and another area of life, and kind of like saying, okay, this too is Hashem's realm. So he said he goes from the areas that are completely not in his control, right? Like we said, the sea voyages, the government regulations, all kinds of things like that that are completely not in his hands. Body's functioning. So the things that are somewhat in my hands, meaning now, okay, I'll take it a step further and say, okay, now I need to plan a whole new business campaign. So now I'm going to start collecting data and I'm going to start strategizing. So here already, I'm bringing Hashem even more into the picture. This is an area where theoretically I could say, well, here, I'm fine. I'm fine on my own. I have experience. I know how to collect data. I know how to strategize. I know how to advertise, etc., etc. But here he says, you know what? I've seen so much of Hashem taking care of me in these other areas. How about if I actually move him onto the picture here too and say, maybe Hashem will be part of the process, I'm giving, excuse me, like giving him a bigger stake in the company. Okay? Now Hashem will be part of the process that my I could depend on him to get to the right data. I mean, last year I might have thought, oh, I'm good at that. I know how to get to the right things. Oh, you want to make sure you get to the right things, you don't miss things, etc. I understand that I need Hashem here as well. Even in the areas where I do sense that I have the ability, I sense that I need Hashem there also. So also in these areas, I'm letting go, and Kiviyachol, I'm saying even the areas where I do feel that I have them in control, these here too, I need Hashem. So now I'll start from the words in Techzak HaKarosa. It's mamish toward the end of the perek, which is toward the end of the shah. In Techzak HaKarosa, Yoisa. Okay, mamish toward the end of the shah. Once a person reaches this stage of the areas where I feel like I have a hand in them, and I, in my mind, start seeing Hashem's control in these areas too, and as I'm going through that process of right the building the new business strategy, I see how with everything that I'm doing, I see Hashem's involvement here. So then, you can get to the next stage. Meaning, what's going on here? There's more and more experience of Hashem in your life. That's really the process that he's describing here. You are attuning yourself more and more to the extent to which Hashem is in your life. And as I see him with me in the areas that I do kind of feel I have control of, then it goes a step up. And here's where we're up to. If your recognition of Hashem takes that next step up, then you move to the stage where I simply see Hashem running all the different cause and effect in my life, from the easier ones to the from the harder ones, which the harder ones where it's easier to see Hashem, to the easiest ones where everyone would just think, okay, this is me. I'll bring that out momentarily. So, right, we talked about the person starting by seeing, okay, look, my health is in Hashem's hands. I don't really have much of a say there. To now, even my business strategies, which I am sitting and working on, I see how Hashem helps me. And then as I experience that more, I start to see how mamish everything. When I wake up in the morning, I say, Moida Ani, with a sense of this didn't happen by itself. This is Hashem. Even when I do all the most natural things, it started with getting money, but now goes to the next stage. When I go to the store to buy food, I feel like, okay, Hashem is providing me now. Mamish, every area of life where a person starts more and more feeling Hashem's running the show in these areas. And this we discussed, I think that we discussed this a couple of weeks ago, how this is where the inyan comes in. Of every time you eat a meal, to say a little tefillah beforehand, recognizing that I need Hashem for this meal, even though everything's in the fridge, everything's in the closet. But as I sit down, the way the Mishnah Berurah says it, before you're about to say, okay, what's for lunch? And I know that there's a makolet down the block. I know that there's food in the fridge. I know that there's food in the closet. To be able to say, Hashem, please give me a meal now. And here, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, I don't remember, but here's where the Inyan of the Mishnah Berurah recommends saying Mizmor David at every meal. We say it at Shalosh Shuddos, that's when it's commonly said, that's when it's in the benches. But he recommends saying it at every meal. Mizmor David is basically an expression of exactly that. That as I'm sitting down now and I'm cared for, there's bread, there's eggs, there's cheese, there's vegetables. All this is, I say, Hashem is taking care of me. And I recognize that in the most basic things in life, in the simplest things in life. I recognize it when I wake up in the morning. I recognize it when I'm ready to approach a meal. And even get to a place where you recognize it in lifting up a hand. Lifting up a hand, you know that you never lift up your hand in your life. You send a message from the brain, and then it happens quote unquote, by itself. That's really the way it works. You send the message from the brain, just we're so used to it. It happens so quickly that we feel like we lifted up our hand. But all you did is send the message. And then you wait for your body to respond. What do you mean your body responds? It's responding. This is Hashem. Person starts feeling that in every move he makes. Now, this is already a very high madrega. Dayenu, if we can work on this in those areas like we've been discussing. If you exercise this once a day at a meal to be feeling that. And another great area to utilize this is in the Birkas HaShachar. That's mamash what the Birkas HaShachar are. They're there to tune you into how much Hashem is taking care of you throughout the day. Say, Hashem, Nosam Lasech Vivin Ala Abchim Benyem Uvein Loila. So, okay. Sechvi can either mean the mind, or it can mean a chick, the rooster. We're not waking up with roosters these days, but the mind, you know, the processes of waking up in the morning. Skip to the parts of the bodily of the different faculties that we have, right? Pekeach Ivrim. I'm seeing now because Hashem is granting me sight. Malbish Arumim. I need to get dressed today. Where am I going to get clothing from? Well, the closet. Okay, I have a closet full of clothing because Hashem gave that to me. Matirasun, you wake up in the morning, you're lying in bed. Oh, I can move my arms. I can pull myself up. There is once again, it's Hashem providing you with those abilities. Zekev kipufim, I can stand straight. I have balance. This is mamish something that you have to become exposed to balance. You know, when you walk, you don't flip to one side or the other. Doesn't even seem like something that has to be on the table until you become exposed to the cases where it's not a given because there's some sort of imbalance in the liquids in the ears or something. I don't know exactly. But and then a person balance is not a simple thing. People have a very hard time with it. To understand that, yes, being able to get up and stand straight is actually kleach being given by Hashem. Even Roy Kaoru HaMayim, that's an amazing example of it. You step onto the ground, that's the last thing people would think of. You know, the solid ground under our feet is the thing we most take for granted. You step down onto the ground and realizing that this is a zone that Hashem is providing us with. Most of the world is underwater. And Hashem is creating that balance. What do they call it? I forgot what it's called. There's a word for it. I forget it. Topographical balance that I have space to live. And so on and so forth. Then we can get to the next place. When you're really in this possession, in this position of really having learned to sense Hashem's involvement in all the areas of life that he's constantly doing. Then you move on to the next place. What's the next place? Okay. Well, sorry, we're just going to finish off the previous line. Yoshi bitchonei lov b'kol ha'sibos ha'koshim em v'akalo. When a person reaches the level that we're now talking about, he starts attributing all the cause and effect to Hashem, meaning the bigger areas that I realize I don't have control in of weather, health, okay, v'akalo. And even the easiest things that I'm busy doing on a regular basis, I see, no, I need Hashem's help with all these things too. And once I realize that all these things are just Hashem being doing left and right, so why am I still going about doing the efforts? I see that Hashem's giving me parnasa, so why am I still putting those efforts into my job? So here again, we're indexing longer discussions back earlier. But I'm doing these things, all the things that I do toward my own welfare, I do with the sense that it's Hashem caring for me. Now, I'm doing it because He wants me to be doing this. As we discussed, the shtadlus, cooperating with the natural course of events, is the way Hashem wants the world to run. So why am I working toward my parnasa? Because I know Hashem wants me to do that. Why am I bothering to get up and go to the store? If Hashem wants me to have food, I'll have food anyways. Well, Hashem wants it to work that way. And therefore, my main kavanah when I'm doing these things is Hashem wants me to be taking these steps to care for myself. That's why I'm doing them, not because they actually, that's what makes or breaks it. Okay, so now we move on. The kasha techza kakarosa yoisem. When you reach this level, then you're ready to move to the next step of an even more of an even deeper of a greater understanding of the chemlas habayir al-ruach, of Hashem's care for His creatures. And when we talk about Hashem's care for His creatures, we're talking mainly about His care for one particular creature. This always has to be egocentric. That's very, very important here. I mainly experience it through myself. When I've really experienced Hashem's care for me, then Yitzeh b'mashiyeh migzera aser lekimloi b'libay u'bilshonoi. So this is already, we're getting to the higher madrigas, which are harder. I think here's where we got into the discussion over the last 2 weeks. It was actually here where we got into all that. So if it comes up again, I'll refer you back to the last 2 weeks shiurim. But once a person really experiences quite how much Hashem is caring for him, then he says, okay, if so, I'm capable of taking anything Hashem sends my way. I already know him. I've already experienced him. And Mamela, anything that he sends my way, I really appreciate is coming for my best.
In the translation, my Hebrew isn't good, it says he'll be happy with whatever Hashem brings him, death or life, poverty or wealth, health or illness. He will not long for anything that Hashem has not chosen for him. But again, so, but if you're not healthy, you don't know that's what he's chosen. Maybe he's chosen that you should daven to be healthy, or you should give more tzedakah, or.
Okay.
So,
So let's work through it. Let's work through it. Let's see. Now, every time we get to this line, it's going to be hard to swallow. The Chavis HaLavis is feeding us the Madregas little by little. And he's giving us a little bit of a bigger piece to swallow and a little bit of a bigger piece to swallow. And you know what? If it's a little hard to swallow, let's swallow it with difficulty. Meaning, recognize the difficulty and see, but let's still understand. Let's understand what the Chovas HaVavas is depicting for us. And then, even if I'm not there yet, at least I can understand it and it's in my frame of reference. So, let's see. And here's where we'll get to the point he wants. So, he's already accepting of whatever Hashem sends his way. B'libo b'lshoino. He expresses it and it's also what he feels inside. B'nireu b'nistaroi, inside and out. V'yismach b'kol asher oso le'elikim. He's capable of being happy with whatever Hashem sends his way, whether it's death or life. Ve'oysher ubrius, whether it's, sorry, v'rish ve'oysher, whether it's poverty or wealth. Ubrius v'choli, whether it's health or illness. Whatever it is, he says, I know that Hashem is taking care of me. And here's really where he's encapsulating the whole of Shaar HaBitachon in one line. And now if this wasn't too hard to swallow, so let's make it a little harder to swallow. And he longs for nothing. This is what you read. He longs for nothing other than what Hashem chose for him. And he wants only what Hashem wants for him. So here, yes, this is always going to be the harder part to push through. But I think with the understanding that the more we become schooled in it, even if it's a little harder to swallow, it becomes a bit easier each time. So let's again lay down. This does not mean that if a person is ill chalila, don't do anything about it, just accept it. It means, mamash, like we said before, go through the motions toward bettering your situation, but with acceptance. That's the challenge here because intuitively it feels like the two are a contradiction to each other. If I'm making efforts to get rid of the illness, it means that I'm not accepting the illness. So here's where we say that there's a fine line, but a very fundamental line that is understandable. And that is that I'm going to do the efforts to better the situation, but as long as it's here, I'm taking it and accepting it. In other words, I'm telling Hashem, if you want me to be davening if the idea here is that the davening should get me better, I'm davening and I'm going through the ishtadlus. But at the same time, as long as I am suffering it, and if Chalila, this was meant for a longer term, I'm accepting that. So I'm doing the motion so that in case you had in mind that I should be better, I'll be better. And at the same time, the pain that I'm going through while I'm doing the motions, the person accepts. And like we said before, I'm saying the words, but all I'm doing again is translating the Chodesh's words. He's putting us, he's putting high sights in front of us. That's what we're doing when we open a Chovas HaBavos. We're exposing ourselves to these heights. Think I've said over here, I'll say it again. The story of Hillel, the Shlug's take on a story of Hillel. There's a story of Hillel where the Gemara says that he was once coming home from somewhere far away. And he heard screams coming from his hometown. If I've said this already 6 times and everybody knows it by heart, just nod your heads. We'll, no, okay, fine. So we'll tell it. He heard screams coming from his hometown. There's something, obviously something terrible going on, and didn't know which home it was coming from. So he said, "It's definitely not from my home. I'm completely confident that it's not from my home." So the Shla asks, how could he have been so confident? Meaning he has a lot of bitachon, fine. But we still know that sometimes there is reason for gzeira. So the Shla says something amazing. He says, Hillel didn't mean to say it's inconceivable that something frightful would hit my home. He said, my family wouldn't be screaming that way. Because the screams indicate that that's not my family, because my family, we are already mechunach and accustomed to, we take things with equanimity. Even if it'll be more difficult, the screams wouldn't sound like that. Basically, because of the point that we're talking about here. So now, a big madrega, but we want to have it in our sights. Even if we're not actually there, let's have it. Let's expand at least our frame of reference in terms of the madregas we're exposing ourselves to. And question.
You're going to get anyway to a point where you have to.
What's that?
You're almost doesn't it get things are going bad. You're definitely you're doing everything. Doesn't it get to a point where of acceptance? We have no choice. It's like when it's forced to go there. We don't want to be there. Okay, but aren't we sort of a little forced? But I see the difference between the screens here.
So then, first of
Someone
all,
else is going to be accepting the Zakadosh Zera or plan or whatever, and there is better, more accepting, and it's probably the most comforting thing that we could have
that's right.
thinking this way.
That's right. That's right.
And
That's
we
right.
feel this as we're older, also, you
That's
know, a
right.
lot,
That's
but
right.
and we have to become more accepting of these things too. But it's almost like angry
So the question is, why does the
Now
Chovas
that we're so
HaLevavos have to
wonderful.
work so hard to get us there? It becomes inevitable at some point, anyways. So let me answer the question on two levels. First of all, there can be a very wide margin, right? The Chovas HaLevavos wants us to move into it that way in the first place, rather than by the time you are beaten down enough, chas v'shalom, the person accepts it. But number two is that not everybody will necessarily get there. You have people who will just continue to resent, continue to kick and scream, continue to be bitter and just become more and more bitter. A person who's already has the background will get to the point where, okay, the Ein Breira that you're talking about is already a madrega. That's already a madrega that no, we've probably all seen people who didn't get there and won't get there. They'll continue kicking and just becoming, growing their madregas of bitterness more and more and more. So let's note that if a person does reach that place where, okay, Ein Breira, so he's already on a madrega of this. But the Chovas HaLevavos, what he's describing here, and again, we want to expose ourselves to it, is where as things are happening, the person is capable of moving through it with a sense of, Hashem, if this is what you want from me, I'm embracing it. This is what I want. Even if I'm going to be doing the Ishtadlis, because maybe that's you want me to do the Ishtadlis, so it should be otherwise. But if this is what you want, this is what I want, and I'm actually rejoicing in it. I'm actually rejoicing in it.
I still have a little problem that I am visually impaired for a number of years.
Now, how long? I'm not praying for a miracle. I'm just praying that to say status quo. And I have my problems with it, but Baruch Hashem, I know God every morning and the Hodos 100 times a day. But how long? I accept it, but but I'm davening that I should be helped. I see he's saying no, Kaniria. But I have, of course, I have to continue davening. But there comes a point where you just think it's not going to happen.
So this is a question that just really reflects real life experience, human experience. And the way the question is being expressed now is, when do you reach the point where you say, okay, apparently Hashem doesn't want it, and therefore let me stop davening and just accept his plan? So the on paper answer to that question is, you never reach that point. Meaning? Yes, this is what Chazal tell us, that there's no limit to how much tefillah Hashem might want in a particular area, and to understand another part, to understand another point. Davening is bringing a person closer to Hashem. Davening is achieving an awful lot in and of itself. And therefore, even if, Chalila, Hashem knows that he's not going to change this situation, we don't know that. But let's say in the situation where Hashem knows that, so there's two things to understand. First of all, the person might be in that situation because Hashem is saying, that's right, I want your ongoing tefillos. What are they? They're not getting anything. They're not doing anything. They certainly are. They're polishing your neshama more and more and more. And that is already an even greater end than whatever it is you might be davening for. That's number one. And number two, to understand another thing, that our tefillos are bringing benefit. Sometimes Hashem might push a person for tefillos, even though in that particular area nothing's going to change, but because something else is Yeshua needed in some other area. Maybe for this person, maybe for somebody else, maybe for somebody else. But the tefillos are having effects. The tefillos are having effects.
So take a woman who hasn't had children. Should daven until she's 80, 90? I mean, no. Like the Imaos, is there a point she says enough? And what if you're davening and davening year after year and you're not getting what you asked for, but it's making you bitter?
Right.
Because it just becomes, how many years can I ask for the same thing?
So first
I don't
of all,
think that's counterproductive at a certain point.
Okay, so first of all, let's break your question into two parts. Person who Chalila doesn't have children. So should they continue davening till the age of 90? So here we would say that in a general way, the rule is we don't daven for things that are straight out against nature. We daven for things that are still within nature, just we don't see it happen. Okay? So that already we're drawing a certain line. So that's number one. And as to your, that's the easier part to answer. As to the second part of the question of sometimes a person just keeps davening and doesn't see it happening, and they just start growing bitter. So the truth is, let's not address the bitter part. Let's address the other part of the question. Avraham Avinu, let's talk about Avraham Avinu. Let's talk about Chana, Shmuel's mother, as examples of the point that we're trying to make. Avraham Avinu davened for a child for how many years? I don't know when he started. He got the child he was davening for at the age of 100. He got Yishmael earlier, fine. But he got the age of 87. But when did he start davening for a child? We don't know when he got married. But presumably he didn't get married at the age of 80, right? So should we say 30? Should we say 20? Whatever it is. Let's say we say 30. Let's say, okay, probably was earlier. But let's say we say 30. So we're talking about Yitzchak, and we're talking about 70 years of tefillos. Hashem pressed Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu started davening for a child. And let's look at it in our own terms. Start davening for a child. After he had some real deep, heartfelt feelings, he felt like, okay, now it's going to be happening because with the connection that I now felt, it must be coming. I've already been married for 3 years. And I've been davening so hard and I reached the peak of connection. Now it's got to be coming. 3 years is a long time. Avraham Avinu doesn't know that he has another 60 years to go. Okay? Doesn't happen. So here, one of two things can happen. Either he starts losing his resolve, or he says, Hashem is beckoning and saying, now I want the next level. The level of, now you're without that fresh confidence. Now can you muster up the tefillos? And Avraham Avinu says, it's already year number four, and he's mustering up the tefillos without that fresh confidence of such a good tefillah, I must be seeing the results immediately. Now, that's already a madrega of a higher level. Let's note that. The tefillah is a tefillah of a higher level because this is a tefillah that he had to dig deeper within himself to be able to pull that out of himself. Right, everybody with me? The first time you're davening for something, when you didn't yet see it not being answered. Right? So there's a lot of drive, there's a lot of freshness. It's an easier tefillah to daven. The next one, you have to work harder to pull out of yourself, which means that it's a weightier tefillah. It's a tefillah of a higher madrega. Now, here, because of Avraham Avinu's greatness, Hashem said, now I'm going to stretch it to the next level. You're going to have to dig even deeper to pull it out of yourself. This went on to the second half of the fourth year, and then to the next level into the first half of the fifth year. And Hashem is telling Avram, you can keep at this and keep bringing out even more of your depth, more of your depth. The second half of the fifth year, first half of the sixth year. Should I go through all the halves until the age of 100? I won't. But you get the idea. You get the idea that with each added tefillah was forcing him to dig even deeper into himself. Now, sometimes Hashem will say, here's a person who can't handle past a certain point. Avraham Avinu, because of his immense greatness and because of the immense potential that Hashem saw in him, said, you're going to be able to do this exercise for those 70 years. Again, 70 is for argument's sake, okay? 70, 80, whatever it is, years. We're not talking about much less than that. And that is going to wrench out of you the greatness that's in you. But it's really going to bring it out. And therefore, by the time Avraham Avinu was 100 years old, the levels of closeness with Hashem, the levels of emunah that he had attained through having to dig into himself deeper again and again and again, bought him. Hashem was putting him through a personalized process of bringing out all of his godless, which he wouldn't have gotten to had Hashem said, you know what, you're already 40 years old, let's give you that child. Wouldn't have gotten there. He wouldn't have gotten there. And that's why Hashem Davka is telling Hashem, it was telling Avraham Avinu, I can make much more out of you than you would dream. With Chana, it was a similar idea. Just with her, it was only 19 years. It was only 19 years. And then we're going to add another piece to it. We're going to add another piece to it. Chana, everyone knows this story of Chana in a general way, right? Chana was at a very pivotal point in history. She was at the point in history where the period of the Shoftim was exhausting itself. Shmuel was the last of the Shoftim. We all know that. What was the period of the Shoftim about? This is important to understand. People misunderstand the period of the Shoftim because it keeps saying time and time again in Sefer Shoftim, at those days, there was no king, Klal Yisrael. Each person did what was right in his own eyes. That sounds like it was a pretty bad kufa, right? Lawlessness, didn't get to creating it. There was no organized government then throughout the whole period. There was no organized government. There was no organized army. 400 years. Kind of sounds like an awful long time to get your act together, but I want to point something out. A country that can't get their act together 400 years implodes way before the 400 years. They implode in 50 years, less than that, right? Probably 30 years. On the contrary, the period of the Shoftim was when the Klal Yisrael were keeping up to a very high level of being able to operate with the reality of who's the government? Straight Hashem. There's no human enforcement. The Shoftim were on and off, the Shoftim from this Shevet, the Shevet from that. It was no system in place. It's so important to realize that. That period of the Shoftim was an unbelievable monument to the greatness of Klal Yisrael. And Avigdor Miller would say, when it says Isha Yosha Bein of Yaseh, that has to be read very literally. Why did the system work in general? Because everybody lived with the reality of Yosha Bein of Yaseh. They sought what was right and they tried to do that. The problem is that in some situations, it failed because we didn't actually have the enforcement in place. But it was an amazing period. And I'll just add another thing in case you think to yourself, you're thinking to yourself, come on, I read the Shoftim. It's problem after problem after problem. So I'll just point out one other piece. You have to read the Shoftim a little more carefully. The psukim that you don't notice in the Shoftim. What's the psukim that you don't notice in the Shoftim, even though they're ubiquitous? Again and again and again, it says, after an incident, it says, Batishkoita Oretz Esrim Shana, Batishkoita Oretz Arbaim Shana, right? There was a problem. I saw the tshuva, there was a Yeshua, and then things were quiet for 20 years. Let's understand the significance of that. If things were quiet for 20 years, that means that there were no problems in those 20 years. Because when there were problems, we see that the response was immediate and harsh. Now, take it to the next step. Add it up. If you actually sit down and add up those quick, glossed over, the Navi doesn't describe to you the lengthy, beautiful tkufas. Because that's not the Navi's job. The Navi's job is to bang Klal Yisrael over the head in order to make them greater. Everything is fine? Okay, no comment. Fine. So if you add it up, you'll see that it's actually about two-thirds of the tkufa. So the two-thirds of the tkufa is between the lines. And it was reaching its end. Why? Because, yeah, Klal Yisrael were not able to hold themselves up to the standard anymore. This is also expressed through the fact that they already were asking for a king at that point. It was reaching its end, and now is the time that Klal Yisrael is going to have to transition into the period of monarchy, of a Jewish king, a new concept. And this would require a very great person to be able to guide Klal Yisrael through that transition, to guide them from the tkufa of the Shoftim or of self-government into the tkufa of monarchy and to establish the monarchy properly. That would require an unbelievably great person. Who is that person? Shmuel. So here Hashem said, there's a very, very great, we need a very, very great person now at this juncture in history. So Hashem is looking around Klal Yisrael Kaviyachol and saying, okay, who can parent this person? The choicest couple for this purpose was Elkanah and Chana. That deserves a whole discussion in itself to talk about Elkanah and Chana, what a couple they were. But that is the choicest couple. I don't know if this is exactly accurate, but it's in a general way, it's accurate. This is the choicest couple in Klal Yisrael. Most perfect couple for being mechanic for raising this child. But you know what? As great as they are, I want even more greatness. And therefore Hashem said, I'm going to take Chana, this unbelievably great person, and put her through a 19-year exercise of becoming the top level she can become, and then she'll have that child. Then she'll have that child. And that was the pshat in the 19 years of childlessness. Those tefillos, all those tefillos of those 19 years, Hashem is saying, you're getting there, you're getting there, you're getting there. I want something immensely great for you. And I'm going to give it another year. And I'm going to give it another year because there's even more that can be wrenched out of you through this. By the time Shmuel was born, he had behind him, he had invested in him all those years of tefillos, all those years of growing in her emunah. All that, both into him and into his mother who would now be raising him. So it's true. When Hashem stretches a person like that, it's like many things. Putting a person to Olam Hazeh is exactly the same thing. The person can go this way or that way. So Hashem stretches a person, and yes, it is an Nisayon. And Hashem is saying, I want to see you grow. Grow through the added tefillos that you're wrenching out of yourself. Grow through the acceptance, even if you don't have it in you to keep on davening. And we're going to recognize that as a legitimate human reality, even if you don't have it in you to continue davening. Can't. Okay, fine. But then there's the level of, yes, the acceptance. Now, again, it's easy for me to talk. You should never be put to the test with these things. But we do want to learn what the Chavos HaLevavos is teaching us, and that's what he's teaching us. We can't water that down. That is what he's teaching us. Okay, kind of a mid-sentence, but better to stop a mid-sentence than to overburden the point. Yeah, Gute Woche.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shkarach, thank you, Rose.
Thank you very much. Very much. Kalto.
Thank you.